Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
I'd like to thank Trey for a great communion and also thank him for removing the need for me to see gravity. So I can chalk that one off the list. Bro, you swear is he's in here?
He's in kids' class.
He's in kids' class? No. I was going to publicly rebuke him for ruining movies for people. That's terrible. I can do it privately, but if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 23, which is where we'll be. That'll be our primary text for the morning. I was thinking through what I wanted to talk about this morning, and I sent a couple text messages out to people who I'm close to who are also preachers, and I started asking them, like, so what do you talk about, like, on your last sermon, like your going away sermon, what do you say? How do you communicate? How do you put this together in such a way as it's really going to last and help people and express what you need to? And so I hope this morning accomplishes that purpose, because really this has been one of the most special times in our lives as a family. You know, it's funny looking back on the last year plus. I remember a year ago when the idea of us first coming to Auburn came up. And I said no, to be totally honest with you. So we were here from 2007 to 2008. Cat knows. From 2007 to 2008. And I left, and just really honestly, I left Auburn feeling like a failure. I just struggled with some sin, and I'd really kind of given into some cowardice. Don't really feel like I led the church particularly well. And we packed up our van and left and went up to Atlanta to go get more training for the ministry, saying, goodbye, Auburn. We love you. We'll come visit. We're not coming back again, and it's probably best for all parties involved. And then about a year ago, the idea of us coming back here came up, and all those feelings kind of started coming back up. And to be totally honest with you as well, I kind of was a little stung by some of my experience in Atlanta. Again, just me, my sin, my junk, my faith had really been hurt by some areas where I saw that I didn't build my ministry well, and where I just was not doing a particularly good job. So I kind of came here and I fought it a little bit. I'm like, I don't know if that's where God really wants us to be, and is this the right place? And this is a picture Jack took 4 days before we came here. So that's how he was feeling. And then, you know, we sat down and we told him, and this was kind of looking at his face like, we're going where? But, you know, it's amazing having been here now for 10 months and just seeing how brilliant God's plan is.
Right.
And seeing how brilliant God's plan to bring us here was. It's been so many amazing things have happened. I went through my insanity stage while we were here. And Mitchell and I did insanity. This was actually the day we finished insanity. I went through my frilly apron stage here, which was also really awesome. I went through my no beard stage here, which was not great. And let's all be grateful this is back and back strong. I've gone through 3 phones. I came here with an iPhone. I had an Alcatel for a minute. I'm leaving with a BlackBerry. It's just been a fascinating experience. Well, Jasmine and I are partners in the BlackBerry. Us, you and I, and 6 other people in the whole world. But it's awesome. I'll not get into it right now. But it's been such a cool experience for my family. Jack had his first Easter egg hunt here. That was just so much fun. He had his first ice cream bar here. He had his first chicken wing here. He had his first cup of coffee here. Which I, just kidding, we really didn't give him coffee. Somehow he got a cup, hold of an empty cup, but he sees his mom and I drink it all the time, so he loves saying the word coffee, he loves holding coffee cups, he loves pretending like he's drinking coffee. The poor kid is in trouble. But man, some of my favorite memories in my entire life were here in Auburn. I think about disc golfing with the guys, and just how much fun that was, just thinking about where my family has come from over the course of this last year plus, and then honestly just thinking about the great men I've gotten to work with over the course of this last year. I think those are going to be the things that I will remember most are really the relationships. And you know, we just love you guys to death. We really feel like this is home. We really feel like some of our best friends in the entire world are here. We really feel like we could come back here and be gone, having been gone for a couple years, and come back and this would still be home. And we've also just really learned so much from so many of you. I feel like we've really gotten our faith back. I remember last fall sitting down with Bill at Mellow Mushroom, and we're just eating lunch, and Bill is having what he always has at Mellow Mushroom, a slice of anchovy pizza. Oh, yeah, I know. It's only going to get funnier from here. With marinara and ranch is always what Bill would eat. I don't get it. I've never said anything to him about it. I should have, because it was not awesome, but... And I remember Bill and I sitting down and having this conversation, and Bill's like, here's what we want to do. Whatever, we think God has really great things in store for you. The Auburn Church just wants to be a part of preparing you to go do whatever God has next for you to do. And I really feel like that is exactly what's happened. I really feel like, honestly, I feel like I've learned how to be a better friend here. Just the way my life has gone, it's been a long time since I've just been surrounded with a really close group of guys that I felt like were peers and were great friends. And I think I had to relearn how to be a friend and relearn how to give my heart to people, and not just lead people, but love people. And I really feel like so many of you guys taught me how to do that. I really had to learn to rely on God here again. Those are things that I had learned a long time ago, but somewhere along the way, you have some success. And when you start having success, you forget where that success came from. And you can so easily go on a formula and go on a plan and lose God in the middle of it, even if you're a minister and God is what your life is about. Really, as Christians, God's what all of our lives is about. But really, it was so easy. I learned that again. I learned how to be a father here, and I'm so grateful, and I'm still learning how to do that, for great conversations we had with Ken and Bill and their wives and so many of the rest of you, because I had to figure a lot of this out, Annie and Amy and so many of the rest of you. Jack decided that he had a will once we moved here, and that he wanted to express it. But it's just been amazing getting to learn how to do that together. And I'm just so, Bethany, I cannot even begin to express how grateful we are to have spent the last year of our lives here, and then how grateful we are that you really gave your hearts to us. I think everything we feel about Auburn can be summed up in something that happened to us this morning. We're driving to church here this morning, and we actually had a really smooth morning, which has not been the case every Sunday at Auburn. It's amazing how much stress preaching every Sunday adds to your family. But Bethany was a trooper. She's just amazing. But we were driving to church this Sunday, and we're feeling good, and we started to pray. And I'm like, okay, let's pray. And all of a sudden, I hear from the back, Jack's like, I want to pray. And we're like, okay, buddy. And normally what that means is we feed him stuff to pray about. And he just repeats everything we've just said. So Bethany's getting ready to feed Jack some things. And then all of a sudden we hear, and I thank you for Katira. And I thank you for, who else did he say? Trey. And then he said Katira about 4 or 5 more times. And I thank you for LeJasmine, and just all on his own. And at one point, Beth and I looked at each other, and we both had tears in our eyes. Like, this is what the church is, right? Isn't that what the church is? It's family. Yesterday when Nate and Demetrius drove up to our house, and Nate comes out of the car, and Jack's like, Nate! And just runs up to the car and gives Nate this huge hug. This is what it's about. And Jack just said in a few short words what we feel in our heart, which is we're really grateful for Katina. No, I'm just kidding. We have been so grateful to be here. And no matter what the rest of our journey brings, and it's long and we don't quite know what all is going to happen, we know that Auburn will always be a big part of it. So we really want to thank you guys. And I don't think we can express enough how thankful we are. But as much as I've learned from you, I've learned some really valuable lessons about God while I've been here that I really want to share with you guys too. So it's really one very valuable lesson that has been so helpful for me. And what I want to do is I want to start here in reading in Psalm 139, verse 1 through 3, where the Bible says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever." Amen. And thank you, Eddie. And one of the things I've loved that as Mike and Marge have come in and what they've really started to do is they've really got us back focused on God. And I know for me, it's very easy for me to focus on myself and even focus on being godly and miss God in the equation, right? So I want to be so godly, I miss why I'm trying to be godly. I miss the God in the godly. And I've loved everything Mike's talked about, how God is all powerful. How He had even the picture tray painted today of how big the universe is, and the closest star is 4 light years away, let alone the furthest stars that are out there, that we could travel a whole lifetime and not begin to see everything that the Lord has created. We could get in our spaceships and never see everything, that we're only now inventing the technology to see a small piece of the universe. And yet we think we're brilliant, but God is brilliant and all-powerful, that God is omniscient, that He knows everything that's going on. I love how Mike talked about that the other day, that God is aware, that God is there, that God knows that what we do in secret is as real to God as what we do in public. That I love even Hebrews 4 that talks about how all things are going to be exposed because God knows about them anyway, which is why we should expose them before God does. That will go much better for us. But that God is omniscient, that God is omnipresent, that there's not a time in the universe that God is not in. That idea like blows my mind, is God can simultaneously be in all places, but He can also simultaneously be in all time. That there's nothing that confines Him like that, that He is here just as much here today in 2014 as He is on the day that Jesus died on the cross. He's omnipresent. But you know, as I've thought about these amazing qualities of God, I've thought about there's a lot of other religions that teach that's who God is too. That there is a all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient God out there. But one of the things we really believe as disciples of Jesus, and we believe as those who have adopted the Bible as our standard, is not only is God all-powerful and omniscient and omnipresent, but God is good.
That's right.
Like, God is all those things, and He's good.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we have an easier time believing in like one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that God is all-powerful and all there and in control, but we look around us and we say, but that's not a good God. Or we say, God is good and He loves us and He's there for us, but He obviously isn't all powerful or those things wouldn't happen. And we tend to drift to one side or the other, and we miss this beautiful truth that we serve a God who holds the universe in the palm of His hand and lovingly cares for the people who are on this planet. That nothing is far from God, everything is near, and nothing is out of His control. And yet He loves and has a plan for each and every single one of us.
Amen.
And I think one of the most beautiful passages that helps me get in touch with that is Psalm 23. So let's read in Psalm 23 and verse 1. This is what the Bible says. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." Check this out. "My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So as we read this passage, we'll get a little interactive. As we read this passage, man, what about God's goodness sticks out to you?
He's there in the darkest valley.
He's there in the darkest valleys. Yeah. His blessing, your cup will overflow.
I will dwell in his house forever.
You dwell in his house forever.
I lack nothing.
You lack nothing. We'll come back to that. We don't often feel like that.
He anoints our head with oil.
He anoints our head with oil.
Prepares a table before me in the presence of
God. Yeah, prepares a table. I love this. We're just reading back the verse. This is awesome. I know, you can't say it better than David said it, so we might as well just repeat back what he already... Chris Lucy's back in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
No fear.
And we could go on and on, and that's just from this page, which is clearly where we're taking all this from. You can go back and look at all these awesome things too. And God is our shepherd. He makes us lie down in the greenest of pastures. You know, you could go, he refreshes our souls. And I don't know about you, but this just helps me realize God is good. If all these things are true, which David clearly believed they were true, Jesus clearly believes they were true, then we serve a very good God. And because we serve a good God, this passage leads me to believe two very important things. Number one, God can be trusted.
Amen.
If our God is good the way we believe He is, and He's all-powerful the way we believe He is, our God can be trusted. Amen. Now, we've gone through a lot as a church this semester. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it just really feels like there's been a very large amount of very tragic things that have happened in our fellowship this semester. And going back to Miss Paulette's sister dying earlier this semester, and Dwayne Ward, his little brother, passing away, and everything that's happened to the Shaw family this last month and or month and a half, and that's just the big stuff. I think about back to my life this last week, and there was a young man who was in the campus ministry I led in Atlanta. This guy is 22. His dad passed away this last Thursday out of the blue. Did not see it coming. I think about friends of mine who may be struggling in their faith. And then that's just those are the big stuff, let alone the little things we go through every day that honestly are just hard. And then you think about all the transition our church is about to go through. With Jason and Christina moving, and Bethy and I moving, and Jameson and Danielle getting ready to move in a couple months, and that's a lot of transition. You could definitely pull back and say, "All right, God, what are you doing? If you're so good, why is all this stuff happening?" And then you even look at like a bigger picture, and you look at all the stuff that's been going on at Auburn University campus, and all these threats, and all the threats of violence, and there's like a $10,000 reward out there right now for whoever finds the person who wrote the threat on the wall that they're going to blow up the Haley Center. And then we can pull it back even further than that, and you see all the things that are going on in the world, and you're like, God, what are you doing? You say you're good, show it to me. I remember about a year ago, Bethany and I had our sixth wedding anniversary. And we had a ton of fun. And a friend of ours at North River let us borrow their Porsche. And I don't know if you've ever driven a Porsche before. I'm going to get a little giggly. It's everything you dreamed it would be. This thing just runs smooth and fast. And here's the other great part about the Porsche. The Porsche reveals your character. It reveals how serious you are about following the laws of the land. And also, I remember there was even one spot I pulled up to a traffic light. And it was a Porsche convertible. And I had my sunglasses on. And I pressed my shirt that day. And you just hope, like, I hope somebody, you want people to look at you while you're in this car. Like, legit, I pulled up to this stoplight, and I'm like, God. Actually, I didn't pray about this. Thank the Lord. And I'm just like, I look around just hoping somebody was going to look at me in this awesome car. And that was the point I decided I am never going to own a Porsche. Because I will go straight to hell if this, like, this will not be good for my heart. That's me. You could own a Porsche. I'm just talking about myself. But we went out. We had a really nice meal together. And then, you know, we had the car. So we're like, let's just drive and drive around. It was a perfect spring night. And there is this one road in Marietta called Paper Mill Road. And if you've ever driven on Paper Mill Road, I remember driving on Paper Mill Road years ago in my Saturn and having fun on it, saying to myself, if I ever have a nice car, I'm coming back here. So we're driving, and I turn onto Paper Mill Road, and I'm in the Porsche, and I'm so excited. And a cable truck pulls right in front of me before I pull onto Paper Mill Road. It wasn't an accident. Pulls right in front of me before I pull on Paper Mill Road. And I'm just excited about letting loose on this road, man. It's cliffs. It's beautiful. And it's windy. Everything you want for a fun car. And this car, this truck, it's going 20 miles an hour. And I'm like, what are you doing? Do you not know where you are and who is following you? Can we pick up the pace a little bit? And then I'm like, okay, maybe he'll turn off. No! He keeps driving on Paper Mill Road while I'm in a Porsche. And I'm driving, and I'm just getting progressively more frustrated. And Bethany, isn't this true? Yes, it is. I'm getting progressively more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated with why is this car here? I'm taking the Porsche back tomorrow. I'm not going to be back here ever again. I've already decided I'm not owning one of these cars. This guy's ruining my anniversary. And then it's about 10 o'clock at night, and then we pull into this one section. You round a turn, and then all of a sudden there is a 90-degree turn in the road that goes over this bridge, and on the left side of you is cliff, and on the right side of you is river. So I'm driving, and I'm like, and I take this turn at 20 miles an hour, and right after we pull through it, I look at Bethany, I'm like, thank God that truck was there. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, if that truck hadn't been there, I would have taken that turn at it fast. And who knows what could have happened to us. And I start, 10 minutes ago, I was cursing God for the truck. Now I'm thanking God it was there. Because you never know at the moment what God might be doing to save your life. You never know at the moment what God might be doing to bring about something better than you ever could have hoped for. Now, in the moment, we get frustrated and angry and bitter and want to curse God. And I want to encourage you, love God enough to tell Him the truth about how you're feeling. You know, we want to be reverent, but we also want to be real. God is the all-powerful creator of the universe, but He's also our Father and our best friend, who we need not fear telling anything to. But then, it's amazing how when you turn corners, you can start to see, God, that was brilliant. Look at what you were doing. Thank you for this, because if this didn't happen, the great things that you have in store for me might never have been here. You know, I think we can all think of situations like that in our life, that as we started to pull back and see what God was doing, well, once provided us with a great deal of pain, now provide us with such a good deal of pleasure. I think about Marika and everything she went through this semester, and how at the time that was not awesome and still is probably challenging and hard, but now you pull back and say, I never would have reached out to God if that didn't happen. And we can, I think about us coming to Auburn a year ago. We're just going through this time where my confidence was shot. Honestly, my confidence was shot. I thought we were going to end up in Athens, Georgia to lead the campus ministry there. And we interviewed, and I thought it went well. Apparently, it did not go as well as I thought. And you know, you pull back, you're like, man. And honestly, it killed my confidence. It was the first job I ever interviewed for that I wasn't offered. I interview well. It just killed my confidence. I'm like, God, can you do anything with my life? And now a year later, I pull back. And what do I see? We're going on an adventure so much more significant. I love Athens, Georgia. South Africa will be a little bit cooler than going to Athens, Georgia for a couple of years. Which is so awesome.
Amen.
And to see how God worked that out. Even being here, this is exactly what we needed to. You know, in the moment it can be really hard. And I know a lot of us are going through really hard things right now. Trust.
Amen.
You know, you look back at Psalm 23. And what it says is, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, God never says there won't be dark valleys.
That's right.
God just says that when it happens, He'll be with you. That He'll walk with you. That His rod and His staff, they will comfort you. That the valleys, the darkest valleys, will be there, but you'll never go through them alone. And that God can be trusted. Amen. And secondly, let me just say this too. God's name should be made famous. So we believe in an all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God who is good and can be trusted. And because those things are true, God's name should be made famous. Let's look back here. Look back at the text. Psalm chapter 23. And I highlighted something huge. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path. Why? For His name's sake. Now this is like a hugely important point. That the reason God did all this stuff is not just for you. Right? The reason God guides you, and the reason God shepherds you, and the reason God lays you down in green pastures, and the reason He leads you beside quiet waters, and that He refreshes your soul, isn't just so you can have it easy. Isn't just so you can have a great life. It isn't just so you can have everything you've ever wanted, although I hope all that stuff happens. And God is good, so we believe a lot of that stuff happens. But God does all these things. Why? For His namesake, so that God can be famous, so that people can see your life and not praise you, but praise Him.
Amen.
That God can see how you handle struggle and challenge and tragedy and not say, wow, you're strong, but say, look how great God is.
Yep.
The primary focus of our lives is to worship and bring honor and glory to God.
Amen.
No matter what we do, that's why we do it, is because God's name is worthy of being famous.
Amen.
God's name is worthy of being praised. God is worthy of being made much of. Despite the fact that we live in a world that wants to make God little and pretend He's not there, it's in the darkness that the light of God will shine the brightest. Because people will see how good God is to His people and want to worship and praise Him. You know, I love our church. I love our church. Hope you guys like walk in here every Sunday morning and just feel encouraged.
Amen.
And feel inspired. And say, this is my family and these are my best friends and these are the people I want to spend time with. I may not always like every song, but I'm going to sing it with all of my heart. Because everybody else is too. And it may be going a little long today, but I'm with you, bro. And this may not be your best sermon, but it's okay because you show a lot of pictures of your kids. And I love that. I hope you feel, not all of the things I just described, but I hope you feel fired up when you come in here. And I hope you feel like this is a place of refreshment and peace and love and where you do find home.
Yeah.
And you know why it's that way? God.
Yeah.
It's nothing special we've done. I love Bill and Jameson and Ken and Mike. These amazing men we get to work with. There's nothing particularly special about any of us. We're about as average Joe as you get. And I saw some of you go, mm-hmm. I've noticed that. Very average. We're just a group of men just trying to figure it out as we go along. But God's good.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to point people to Him. So if God is that good, shouldn't God's name be made famous?
Yes.
Shouldn't we want to go out and make His name famous? But some of us have too much of a fear of man issue to do that. See, we're afraid of the wrong things. God should be feared. Right?
Yep.
You know, I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Bible talks about knowing the fear of the Lord. And right before that, in the knowing the fear of the Lord, what Paul talks about is, we're all going to have to stand before God and give account someday. So he's like, knowing that we should fear the Lord, we what? We persuade others to bow down at His throne and worship the God of the universe. See, I think a lot of us aren't particularly effective at persuading because there's things we fear a lot more than we fear God. We fear the approval of people, the loss of respect, the loss of job. We fear a lack of comfortability. We fear having to get out of our comfort zone. We fear all those things more than we fear God. Or another thing that can happen is when we talk about God, we don't really know God enough to tell people about Him. And that's the other thing that can happen is we don't fear God or we don't really know God. So, you know, it's funny. It's funny when you find something you like really love and you really like. Don't you like go and tell everybody about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like your favorite when you found your favorite restaurant. When is it? You gotta go to this place.
Amen.
You sent out text messages. You took pictures of your food and put it on Instagram. You tweeted about it. You sent out Groupons. You wore their t-shirt. I don't know what you did, but you got really excited about it. You told everyone. You wanted to take people there. I remember when I first discovered Mama Mocha's. I love coffee. You guys know that. And I've told best cup of coffee in Auburn. Mama, you gotta go there. Hey, where do you want to go today for our D-time? Mama Mocha's. You gotta go. I'll buy your coffee. Or I remember when I went down to Tuskegee for the first time. Cornbread Fred's, man. You gotta go to Cornbread Fred's. And they're telling me about it. And you know, Travis and Devante are not the most expressive guys in the entire world. So if they mention a place, even in passing, it's incredible. All right? Gotta go to Cornbread Fred's, bro. Just gotta do it. That means 5-star all world. You need to go there immediately. All right? I remember the first time I went there, and I made a total fool out of myself the first time I went there. Yes! Because I asked these guys, I'm like, so is there cornbread at Cornbread Fred's? I'm like, they're like, nah, they have white bread. I'm like, so why don't they call it white bread Fred's instead of Cornbread Fred's? And then here is the worst. So I went up, and I'm just getting all out on the table. I'm leaving in 4 days. You're good. Got all out on the table. I walked up to the front desk, and I'm ordering, and I'm like, I want some sides. And I'm like, what do you think I would like? And the woman's like, you can do French fries, but you can do, oh, the yams are really good. You might want to get the yams. But she's like, nah, you probably won't like them. And I'm like, I won't like them. Why? I said, because I'm white that I won't like the yams? Not my finest moment, I realized. But those guys told me about that. Because they know it, and they love it, and they appreciate it. And we could go on and on. Trey just did an entire 15-minute communion about space. Why? Because he loves it. See, the things you love the most, you talk about the most. All right? And the things you love the most, you know and strive to know the most about. If I took how much you talked about God, what would I think about how much you know and love Him? If I took what people know about you in terms of your relationship with God, what would I be able to say about how much you know and love Him? And I think if some of us are really honest, what we would find is that in the friendly confines of the Auburn University Hotel and Conference Center, we are known to be lovers of God. But if we walked out the door, that reputation would cease to exist. And you'd be known for wanting to make the name of a restaurant or your career or your job or your family famous instead of the name of God. And what does that reveal? We just have some room to grow. Because God is good, and if God is this good, other people need to know about that. If God is good and God is just, then that means sin needs to be punished. But God gave us a way out of sin being punished, the cross. He gave us a way out of death, the resurrection. And He gave us a way to live a resurrected lifestyle, His grace, repentance, and baptism. Shouldn't we want to tell other people about that if we really believe it is the greatest thing going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The word gospel literally means good news.
That's right.
We live in a world of bad news, and because of that, even our good news isn't that good anymore. Our good news has transitioned and become a football game, or celebrities getting married. Our good news has become something that honestly isn't really that good. But if you believe the Bible and you're a disciple of Jesus, guess what you believe? You have the best news to tell anybody. That what you believe is the hope of the world. It's not just the hope of the world, it's the hope of this town. This town is a facade. Right? The prettiest little village on the plains, that's a lie. We make it look pretty, but what's really going on in this town? What kind of hatred and racism and bitterness and anger and drug addiction and marriages falling apart and poverty and et cetera are going on here? And this kind of stuff they don't put on the front cover of the Plainsman. But that really is this town. Mm-hmm. See, we miss out on the fact that because we're ignorant and blind to the bad news, we don't see that the good news is the answer.
Yeah.
For His name's sake. Mm-hmm. See, God has blessed you with an incredible life, not to make much of you. God has blessed you with an incredible life and a great story like Mike has been talking about, so you can make much of Him. And I think you're going to do it. I cannot wait to come back here in a year or 2 years, or we'll probably come back next year. We want to come back and thank you guys and share pictures. We're going to do a monthly video blog. My Twitter account is Jake_N_Pretoria. Be sending a lot of stuff out there, so keep an eye out for me. We're going to come back and visit. I cannot wait to come back and visit this time next year, and y'all are meeting in the auditorium because it's the only place that fits the church. Mm-hmm. Now, why do I believe that that's going to happen? One, I just think the world of you guys, and I think you are an amazing group of disciples who loves God. But I also believe God is really, really good. And I believe because God is good, we can really, really trust Him. And because we can really, really trust Him, we should go out and make Him really, really famous.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much for loving my family. Thank you for loving me, warts and all. But most of all, thank you, Little Jasmine. See, that's what I'm talking about. The Blackberry Brotherhood is over. Thank you for loving me, warts and all, but also just, I want to encourage you, love God. Because you serve an all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient God who is good and who more people need to know about. I love y'all. Thank you so much. And it won't be long before we're back.